Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. So for the last 24 hours or a bit more, we've been thinking a lot about trust votes and no confidence votes and hugs and winks and the rest of it. But on The Big Fight today, we're going to look at a slightly more serious question, the entire issue around lynching. Because the Supreme Court made it very clear now that they would like a law to control lynching. Now, what should the law be? Who should enact the law? And how should it be implemented? We have heard, for example, the central government says a lot of the actions on lynchings have to be taken by the state government because, after all, the states are in charge of law and order. Is that a cop-out? Is that only the way law is and therefore we have to find a way around it? And essentially, at the end of the day, what is the way forward? Because we can't have a situation where, as a country, we allow people to be picked up, beaten to death, lynched, and quite often on the basis of completely fake news. Not that lynching is ever justified, whether it's fake or not fake, but what actually seems to be happening is a lot of the time it's just fake information being spread on WhatsApp or other means, and that's leading to death. So we've got to try and find an answer. Supreme Court now says it wants a law. What should that law be? That's what we're going to be discussing on this particular program. Let me welcome all my guests. But before I do that, perhaps, you know, these days on TV channels and TV shows, perhaps it's good to outline what the rules and the norms should be. So on this show and on this channel, actually, no beating up any other member of the panel, as it so happens. Hugs, however, are perfectly allowed. So feel free to hug someone next to you. Winks are also allowed. So you can wink also if you want. But no beating up anybody. All right, so with that comic aside, Professor Ashutosh Varshney joining us. Great to have you with us. I've done a lot of work on many of these areas. We're also being joined by Mumbai by M.N. Singh, former police commissioner, Mumbai, who can help us with the law and order aspects of it. It's great to have Sanjay Hegde with us right here in the studio, somebody who's been working on a law on lynching and some of the guidelines may well resonate with you, given what the Supreme Court has actually said. So Harsh Mandal's also done work around lynching and what can be done to stop it, including setting up a group which can hopefully help control some of the passions. We'll see where that goes. Shantanu Gupta, it's great to have you with us as well. He's the author of Yogi Adityanath's biography, The Monk Who Became Chief Minister, and of course also works very closely with Baba Ramdev and in many other areas. And Raghav Avasthi, it's great to have you with us as well, member of the RSS, will help us understand what is happening out there. Gaurav Vallabh Pandey, spokesperson of the Congress Party, with us as well. Professor Varshney, why don't I just first very quickly start off with you. When you're observing what seems to be happening, some would say there's nothing new about lynching. People have been lynched all through the centuries. There used to be lynchings in the United States, during the civil rights movement and before. In India also, there have been lynchings in the past as well. Is that a fair comment to make, or should we be really, really concerned about what seems to be a distinct rise in the level of lynchings that are taking place right now? Not that any lynching can ever be justified, even if it's just one in a year.
There is a lot of work on lynchings, but not on lynchings in India. The most extensively studied cases of lynchings are United States after black lynchings, in the American South after the Civil War, the second half of the 19th century and the first two decades of the 20th. And in the lynchings in Indonesia, I have been extensively studied. And you basically get two types of lynchings. One kind of lynching that is aimed at routine criminality, theft, hit and run accidents, burglary. And instead of going to the police, in many parts of Indonesia, people just form instant mobs and attack the suspected criminal. And the second kind of lynching is about a majoritarianism. When mob violence is used to establish a majoritarian order, that was the kind of lynching that took place, lynchings that took place in the American South, where blacks were the object of violence, mob violence, and a white majority political order was imposed on them after the end of slavery. Now, what kind of lynchings has India seen? And there are two kinds of data set that are available. These are instant data sets. These are not the kind of data sets that, for example, I produced with some others on riots, Hindu-Muslim riots. But these are nonetheless very interesting. One is by India Spend, and the other is by a more serious one, in my view, is by Rupa Subramanya, which was published by ORF, Observer Research Foundation. Both show that after 2014, there is a qualitative jump in mob violence, and especially cow-related violence. Cow-related violence, just to sum this up, the longer statistical point, cow-related violence was only 5% of total mob violence in 2011. It is now over 20% of mob violence, it was last year. And I'm putting together data on the last 12 months. And India Spend also shows that after 2014, there is a clear qualitative jump in mob violence in India.
All right, Professor Bhaskar, I'm going to get you to weigh in a little bit more on some of the points that you made. Harsh, two things Professor Bhaskar said. One is criminality, right? You're going after criminals. Now, some of the lynchings that we are seeing right now are, like, for example, the child kidnapping type, you know, WhatsApp groups being circulated. There's a red car coming. There are child lifters inside that. Would be the first type. Those would be aimed. There's a criminal coming to your area. Do something about it, and people take the law into their own hands. The cow-related vigilantism would be part of the
second one.
It's majoritarianism. What would be your sense of what you're seeing?
See Vikram, the last 1 year or so, I've been traveling around the country in what we call the Karwan-e-Mohabbat. I've met more than 100 families in 12 states affected by hate violence. And it's a terrifying picture that we see out there. There are two or three things that I want to say very clearly. I call this, you know, lynching doesn't actually reflect fully what is happening. I call it command hate violence, and I need to explain that very briefly. Firstly, it's command because it is the fact that India Spend's data, which Ashutosh was also mentioning, shows that after 2010, cow-related lynching, 97% happened after 2014. And 86% people killed were Muslim, and 8% were Dalit, which makes 94%. So it's hate violence targeting particular communities in a political and social environment in which this has become legitimized with ministers, with members of parliament, greeting, celebrating, valorizing the victims.
The Jan Sena episode bears discussion, and we will discuss it. But
not only that, but just a couple of more things which I think are important. One is there's extreme cruelty in the way that these lynchings happen. They don't kill people. They smash their heads. They hit their genitals. They cut off their ears, etc. There's huge cruelty that one sees. It's built around some rumors that are spread about cow theft, etc., etc. You know, Hapur was where I went a couple of weeks back. Here, two elderly men from the village whom people knew. Temple announcement and they gathered, and it was this time 11, 12-year-old children with screwdrivers, with pens, and they attack people. So there's something that is happening. There's the videotaping of these lynchings, pretty much like a celebration of what is happening. So we are seeing hate violence. The recent episodes of child lifting do not fit this pattern. They're not attacking particular castes and communities. But I feel that once you've let this kind of evil into the society...
So you're saying it's sort of a Pandora's box that has been opened, and that's adding more to it. Data, of course, continues to be studied. We did have Hans Rajahi right now saying that there's no clear data on lynching. And various different facts have come up between 2012 to 2018. What were the number of incidents? And it varies. Mm. But you're right, when it comes to cow-related violence, a majority of the victims are Muslims. And number two, then come after that, come the Dalits. Raghav, your take on this. So if you take what Harsh is saying out here, he says that it has gone up and now it seems to be slightly command, and especially the cow-related lynchings and vigilantism, very closely linked to what Professor Vashne was saying, majoritarian violence, showing people their place, whether they are Dalits or Muslims.
As far as I am concerned, as somebody who's an ardent constitutionalist, I believe in the rule of law, and I do believe that anybody who indulges in behavior that is illegal and it is punishable under the IPC should be brought to book. Let there be no doubt about that. Having said that, as far as these studies are concerned, I think two were cited. One was by Rupa Subramania. The other was by India Spin, which I think is edited by one Samar Halankar, right? Please correct
also,
me if I'm wrong. Yeah.
Praveen Chakrabarty.
Also Praveen Chakrabarty, who's part of the Congress Data Analytics team. So I don't know, I cannot comment on the veracity of these studies. I do believe that the only manner in which one can curb these vigilante incidents in relation to the cow is by ensuring that legislation, which is already subsisting in most states of the country against cow slaughter,
okay,
is implemented
can I add,
to the fullest.
Can I just,
let me complete. Let me just complete. There are, of course, many lynchings that do not fit this narrative. There was the lynching of Muhammad Ayub Pandit, which I think took place 3 or 4 months ago, wherein these people suspected that he was a Pandit because of his name badge, and these followers of, I think, the Mirwais lynched him. And apart from that, of course, there have been lynchings, cow-related lynchings, wherein Dalits were targeted in Mirchpur. I think it was in 2006, when the Congress Party was in power, both in Haryana as well as at the center. So, and there was, of course, the lynching of the Dalits in Kherlanje, wherein I think members of one particular really powerful community, which remains the bulwark for the Congress Party in Maharashtra, were involved. So, as I said, you have laws to prevent murder and you have laws to prevent cow smuggling and cow slaughter. Implement both of them to the T. If anybody is found indulging in mob violence, please punish them as far as I'm concerned.
If I can just add to what you have said, I think it should be a principle. I'm going to get the Congress Party in on this. Well, to take your point, anybody who's responsible with mob violence, if it is happening in Srinagar, where, again, by the way, it would be a form of majoritarianism there as well. It is a certain way of enforcing your writ on somebody. It's as condemnable as if it happens somewhere, and everyone should be punished. Which also means that we should try and avoid any justification. There should be a strong across-the-board condemnation, including by all political parties.
Exactly.
Whether it's the chief minister, whether it's the prime minister, whether it is somebody else. We should all as a nation say it's wrong.
Don't do a caste or communal head count then.
I'm saying anywhere it is.
Yeah,
whoever, if a human being is lynched, we should have a problem with it. And we should make sure that the guilty is punished. Do we agree with that as a principle for starters?
Yeah, I agree with that as a principle. Yeah.
Okay. Does that also extend to not... That's where Jayant Sinha got into trouble. There's also extent to
with
not...
Jayant Sinha, I want to add a couple of things with respect to Jayant Sinha before my friend Shantanu takes over.
Yeah.
As far as what Jayant Sinha did is concerned, I think it would be instructive to study the bail order with respect to the people he garlanded that was passed by the Jharkhand High Court. That order very clearly stated that these people, going by the video evidence, did not seem to have been involved in the actual mob violence. And there was actually a concern amongst Jayant Sinha's constituents that they were being targeted in the manner of a witch hunt. And therefore,
Jayant Sinha himself has repeatedly come out and said, I regret doing what I did. He did not say that. I regret if I'm coming between the law,
me and the law.
In an interview, he said, in a highly polarized environment, this became a spark, and I regret giving the spark. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, but having said that, there is a context to what he said.
There's a full statement to it. He said, I don't want to come between the law. I'm not trying to come between me and the case and the law.
Even activists should not become a lynch mob and, start calling for the blood of those who've not actually been involved in any lynching.
Where it is an act of criminality, I understand it's obviously those are villagers who are being whipped up by rumors, and they are going and they are finding somebody driving through and they're beating that person to death, which is shocking. But when it comes to things linked to cow protection, for example, cow vigilantism, as it is sometimes called, is that an area where more can be done to say that, look, this is the wrong thing to do? I mean, somebody like Baba Ramdev, for example. But maybe it is time for people like him and others to come forward and say, this is wrong. You can't, in cow protection, doesn't justify you.
So, be it child kidnapping or woman molestation or rape or theft or cow slaughtering, all of them are heinous crimes, right? But we cannot take law into our own hands. We have institutions, we have police, we have courts, and that's what court said in very clear terms while giving the suggestion or instructions to the government. One very important thing which the CJI mentioned, that anybody can be a victim. Don't try to connect it with my panelist Harsh did just now. And judge very clearly commented that don't try to connect with caste. And CJI, no less than CJI, commented to Indira Jaisingh and objected in the courtroom that don't try to connect with caste and religion. So I think during the discussion, I'm sure you will not try to make NDTV a platform which is contrary to CJI. Many of your members may not agree with the current CJI particularly. That's a different matter.
No. So the simple question of the matter is that...
Can I respond?
Okay.
You see, when you're trying to establish whether this is random killing or it is hate crime, you have to see who is being attacked. And if it is... sort of, it's a random, I mean, India has a population of many diverse communities, and all diverse communities are equally susceptible to this kind of hate violence, this kind of violence, then it is one kind of action. When you see that 86% of people killed belong to one community related to cows, and I have actually, because I've gone on to the...
Rajnath Singh, during the trust vote...
doesn't even count that data separately. Which data is this? Now, India's spend will not govern the narrative.
So let's just take...
Can I say one more thing?
I have traveled across the country. I've been to 12 states. I've seen more families affected by lynching than most people. And I've seen what happens. And that the majority do belong to the disadvantaged castes and to minority communities, and that the police tends to act in a hostile way to them and registers cases against them.
This is something. That can be a commentary on police in general, not on castes.
So what the Supreme Court also said is that hate crimes as a product of intolerance, ideological dominance and prejudice ought not to be tolerated, lest it results in a reign of terror. So
to that extent,
if the crimes are taking place, which are hate crimes, which are a result of intolerance, ideological dominance or prejudice, then the Supreme Court has also said they should not be tolerated. Now, before I come to you, just a second.
Who will say hate will be tolerated?
I'm just pointing it out that you have to therefore adjust the judge.
Vikram, can I just get
the Congress in. This is what happened, for example, in Parliament. Rahul Gandhi spoke about it.
Jahan bhi dekho, kahin na kahin, kisi na kisi Hindustani ki hatya ho rahi hai. किसी ना किसी हिंदुस्तानी को पीटा जा रहा है, मारा जा रहा है, दबाया जा रहा है. ये देश को शोभा नहीं देता है. और जब ऐसी बात होती है तो प्रधानमंत्री का फर्ज बनता है कि वो देश को बताएं, अपने दिल के अंदर जो है वो देश को बताएं. जब भी किसी ना किसी को मारा जाता है, दबाया जाता है, कुचला जाता है, पीटा जाता है, तो वो सिर्फ उस व्यक्ति पे हमला नहीं हो रहा है, वो अंबेडकर जी के संविधान पे, कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन पर और इस हाउस पर हमला हो रहा है.
Rahul Gandhi spoke about it during his speech yesterday. Rajnath Singh, in fact, referred to lynching and said the greatest example of lynching that took place was in 1984, mob lynching. So he's referring to the 1984 riots and blaming the Congress for it. Sorry to be indecisive.
These type of statements indirectly promotes lynching, and I will give you the reason. Jharkhand, there were seven people died in last 6 months because of child lifting. Now in Jharkhand there is a district called as Godda. This is in Santhal region. The Godda member parliament says in open that whomsoever are involved in lynching, I will pay for their legal fees, all court expenses I will bear. Adjacent to Godda is Pakur. Now, what happened in Pakur when Swami Agnivesh goes, a 78-year-old sadhu, he is beaten like anything. There may be ideological differences between the government and Swami Agnivesh, but is this the way a sadhu sannyasi, he had given 10-20 slaps, all videos
but
are
how
there.
Let me complete.
So why I am asking, why this is happening? Why this is happening? Why? What happened in last 6 months that the lynching incidents had increased by 5 times? Why lynching had increased to 61?
Which data shows that?
Issue is that examples are always set at the top. You can't do that, okay, at the top there is no message. Now what the Jharkhand minister says, that Swami Agnivesh is a fraudster.
he is getting foreign funds. If you are going to make these statements,
Chief Minister put a high level committee. Chief Minister immediately put a high level committee to investigate.
That's what I want to convey.
In Congress, Minister is high Chief Minister.
Prime Minister and Chief Minister of Jharkhand can make a statement that we condemn this.
They already did. They already
I am asking another example, Vikram. A very simple example. There is a small state called as Tripura. Now, Tripura had, I'm giving NCRB data. Is there any lynching data? Is there any child lifters data? What government is trying to do? They had miserably failed in governance. So they are promoting, not directly, I'm not making, indirectly.
Let's get the politics out. So Raghav, you respond to him politically, then I want to come to Sanjay and try and see if we can find a
door. If he wants to make it political, then it is really unfortunate that...
Had I made that directly, you are inverted. I'm saying, you are making this statement.
Mr. Prem, let me respond.
I
cannot respond if you keep talking. Thank you. I am condemning all incidents of mob violence, period, including the one in which I think there was one Mr. Safdar Hashmi, I hope his name rings a bell as far as Mr. Vallab is concerned, who was lynched by Congress activists. Everybody knows that. So let's not play politics over all of this. As far as what Mr. Nishikant Dubey has said is concerned, I think what he meant to say was that in case there is a witch hunt, which is something that the Jharkhand High Court has actually observed in the bail order, in case there is a witch hunt, nobody should feel that
Can
I just pause this? Look, we can keep on going on with politics. It is for a long time. I want to come to M.N. Singh and Sanjay for a couple of minutes and then get Professor Vachne back in. Let's just turn to the solutions now. Now, you have been suggesting for a long time that there should be a law. You've got a draft also. That draft is not entirely different to what the Supreme Court has said. How easy is it to fix this?
We as a country, we always want to be, as a people, we want to be with the majority. We do not stand up for that individual man who is standing up alone against the mob. That one mindset, if you change, a lot of things change. I argued this case. So I had the benefit of a draft law which some citizens group had done. We put that in among our suggestions. And a lot of our suggestions have been accepted by the court. And essentially, what we looked at was that what signifies the rule of law on the street? It is the policeman. It's the policeman's uniform. We've had two brave policemen in recent times in lynching incidents. We have had that cop, Gagandeep Singh, if I'm not mistaken, in Uttarakhand, who just took that man, put his shoulder around and said, nobody will come in the way. There was this recent incident in Bidar where somebody got lynched for offering chocolates. The mob went after 5-6 of people in that car. One person could not be saved. But there too, there was a Karnataka policeman who tried his best. But these policemen are often the exception. Why are they the exception? Because the police chiefs, in turn, have to report to the government, the Home Minister. And everywhere, in every mob situation, the slogan is the same. Andar ki ye baat hai, police hamare saath hai.
So you're actually making a very strong statement here. You're saying that the police, in many cases, is not really trying to stop the lynch mob. It's not just that they can't stop it, but you're saying the police is almost...
It's told to come like the typical Hindi film after everything has happened. Yeah. And once everything has happened, try and influence the investigation.
I have to get M.N. Singh in on that because those are strong comments to make out there. M.N. Singh, would you agree with that? That in many cases, the police is actually complicit, not actively in conniving with the mob or not in taking part of the mob, but by turning a blind eye, coming too late, as Sanjay put it?
Well, Vikram, it's very unfortunate that an experienced advocate should be making such irresponsible statement. In reality, this does not happen, though there can be exceptions when the policeman, individual policeman, may come under some influence or pressure, but generally it doesn't happen. Let me tell you that this mob lynchings will take place whatever you may have any kind of law. It is not that there is no law to control to tackle this problem. It's not that the laws are too weak to control these problems. Despite the laws, these things are happening. Now you must try to find out why these things are happening. Let me tell you, this whole law about this cow slaughter, the law which bans the cow slaughter, is a law which is not willingly accepted by the whole Indian society. When there are two communities and the law impacts differently, one group welcomes it and the other group opposes it, then there is a conflict situation. However strong and effective and independent police force may there be, 50% of the compliance with the law comes with willing compliance and 50% comes through enforcement. Where comes the police role? Now, if 50% of the population are not willing to accept the law is going to fail. Now, why these people are lynching? Because they feel that the police is not capable of controlling this. Then there are some Hindutva groups which get ready and start taking the law in their own hands and try to enforce the law. And this is what is precisely happening. You may have one more law, you may improve upon the existing laws, but let me assure you, this mob lynching will continue. There is no point in blaming the police that the police are not doing enough.
Let me just come in on this. Whatever the law is, at the end of the day, the law of the law of the land. And in case people are not obeying the law of the land, whether it is on cow slaughter or whether the law of the land says you shouldn't lynch somebody on the street or you shouldn't commit murder, the law is the law. And if somebody is not obeying the law, that's when, A, there should be the surety of punishment and the police needs to try and step in and make sure that the law is being enforced. Now, what was being said by Sanjay right now is that in many places, the people may feel that the police is not going to go after us. You may feel that, hey, I'm going to go to prison, I'll come out on bail, I will have some minister who will garland me. As in the case in Harper, you're having a situation where the victim's family are complaining, rightly or wrongly, that they're being pressured into changing their statement or writing wrong comments. So this is where you're right. We do have laws. It's in the implementation of those laws that there's a problem, and for that, the police presumably has to share some of the blame.
Yes, but I'm telling you, the 50% of the effect of law comes through willing compliance by the public, and 50% comes through enforcement. Now, you talk about the law of the land. It's not the law of the land. There are many states which have not adopted this law. And even in the rest of the country where it has been, which has been promulgated, there are many people who are not willing to accept this. People say, why do you have a law which controls my eating habits and things like that? Now, if you want to really enforce it and want the police to do it, you must also control these groups, the Hindutva groups which are going about thrashing people. Just because somebody is suspected to have... Now, Dalits which have been traditionally and professionally skinning these animals for making a living out of this, they are being thrashed also. And it is true, Mr. Mandir is very right, 86% of the victims are Muslims, 8% of the victims are Dalit, and this is the target group. It will continue to happen. Now, whether to strengthen the law, well, Supreme Court's orders, well, there, you can certainly make certain amendments. Like, for example, the misuse of the social media is something which is a new factor, yeah. And you've got to think about it and see how you can control
it. I'm about to turn to that. I think it's a good point.
Define...
Professor Bhashay, let me just get you in on this. Is it laws that we need? Is it better enforcement of the laws that we need? Is it willing compliance, as MN Singh was just saying?
One, I think it's very clear in the analysis of lynchings elsewhere that law is a necessary but not a sufficient condition for eliminating this menace. The lawyers on this panel should tell us whether the existing laws are sufficient, are enough to, or have enough teeth in them to deal with the problem. And that's one set of questions, but it's very clear from the larger studies that the bigger problem typically is the environment, political environment of impunity. If there is a political environment of impunity, then even the strictest laws may not be sufficient. So I think we have to think about both of these tracks, the legal and the political. But let me say one more thing. There's been a lot of back and forth on data, whether or not you believe the India spend data, and you say it's created by someone associated with the Congress Party, that's not a charge you can level against Rupa Subramanya's data set. Rupa Subramanya has been a great admirer of Prime Minister Modi. Rupa Subramanya is not known to be associated with either the Congress Party or the left. Her data set is the best data set that we have right now, and it is clear from that what you called, or what we called in the beginning, majoritarian lynching has been rising, and routine lynching against routine criminality like child lifting, while that has been there, that has been declining in proportion. Majoritarian lynching has been rising.
Okay, a culture of impunity.
Both and immunity as well as impunity.
Immunity and impunity, right? The fact that the crowds would feel justified in beating up somebody like Swami Agnivesh and doing things like that, is there a signal that is coming from somewhere that it's all right, you can't, you know, there's a license given to the mobs to do what they want?
I think, Vikram, I think...
You can have any laws, but if the mobs think that they'll be able to get away with it, they will get away with it.
This is a very lazy approach to demonize police, as Mr. Hegde is doing, or say it's communal, because if we keep doing this lazy approach, we will not come to the basic point of police reforms and legal reforms. Let's say give the case of UP. I have extensively worked on UP. My last two books are on UP. And UP, if you see, from last 15 years, UP has 3 lakh police positions and only 1 lakh 50,000 are filled, 1 lakh 50,000 vacancies. And because of various nepotism by Sapa and Baspa government, people are going to high court, and we are short of half of the police.
So
because of if you do this lazy approach that police works with and demonize the whole police force, and we know what kind of tough conditions they work in, right? We demonize police force and say, oh, they are all with government, it's all communal. The Supreme Court is also commented, and the lawyer friend is not agreeing, even with CJI. That's his maybe personal perspective. But if we keep doing this, then that's a very lazy approach, and then we will not work the hard facts of police reforms and legal reforms.
But in what way, for example, the attack on Swami Agnivesh, or some of the other attacks, they're very clearly coming from a slight... You can't say there's no political influence on that. You can't say that some of the attacks that are taking place...
Come in. Now, as far as the Jharkhand lynchings are concerned, the investigation took place under the aegis of the Jharkhand administration, which is controlled by the BJP. As far as Swami Agnivesh is concerned, as on date, we do not know the identity of the people who perpetrated the assault.
We
don't know the identity.
I'm saying that is how you are promoting. That is how it got promoted.
I'm tempted to ask you to hug each other.
No.
He's my friend. There is no doubt about
very
that.
Very good.
I want to make this political atmosphere that he's talking about. Equally, I can say that there was a
toxic atmosphere when the Khair Lanje and Mirzapur incidents took place. So let's not indulge in politics. This is not supposed to be a political discussion.
Make a small point, and I want to come back to the legality of this.
See, as far as the child lifting is concerned, there are 4 states in last 5 months where the number of child lifting episodes and the number of people died because of that suspicion is maximum. I'm just naming Tamil Nadu, Rajasthan, Odisha and Jharkhand.
Telangana.
I'm naming 4. And if you will see the NCRB data, they are the best performing states. What does I want to prove by this? That it is not because that child lifting is happening there. There is a dent in the social environment. And that's
maybe,
what precisely Supreme Court had also
more
mentioned.
Friendly, they are
so
more tech friendly.
We have to get that dent out.
So he's right.
Spreading fast there. Gaurav made a very valid point.
I think it's, and we should take this point forward. It is actually a valid point that where lynchings could happen is not necessarily related, that's the point he's trying to make, is not necessarily related to where crimes are taking place. So therefore, you may well have cow-related lynchings taking place in states which are not actually seeing too much cattle smuggling.
Correct.
You could have child lifting, child kidnapping related lynchings taking place in states where the problem is not there. You don't necessarily need a cause, I think,
Vikram,
is the point he's trying
to make. In Jharkhand, unfortunately, 4 people die just on the suspicion of theft of a buffalo. Forget about cow, now buffalo also entered. So what I'm trying to say that there is a dent in the social fabric of our country. The conscious of our country, there is a dent. So, and all these are happening as a byproduct of that particular...
So hang on. I think it's an important point to make, and I'm going to ask both of you this. I'm going to go back to Professor Vashi on it as well. He said there's a dent in the social fabric. Alluded to the no trust confidence has been alluded to frequently. Something is happening that is injecting an atmosphere of hate, of toxicity, of violence into society. It may be social media and WhatsApp messages. It may well be news channels, which are also doing their own part of it. It may be other forms of dissemination. Is the atmosphere getting more toxic?
The atmosphere is again and again disrespectful to the rule of law. You think you are the law. When, as long as you have the majority on your side, as long as you can hit somebody, then you
might
are administering
right.
law there.
So you're saying saying might is right is becoming a dominant
yes,
view.
Yes, and that is exactly what the Supreme Court has warned against about mobocracy. The Supreme Court doesn't want to get into the causes in that sense. Though we started off with regard to cow slaughter, I, at least in my arguments, made it clear that it was not cow slaughter alone. The basic point is, are we a republic ruled by the rule of law? And
not the rule of the mob. Yeah. That's
the rule of the legislator, not the rule of the fellow who is there temporarily. Now, there's one point I wanted to make as far as Mr. M.N. Singh was concerned. It is not that I hold the policeman in low esteem. I pointed out two sterling examples of policemen who did their job. The question is, when a policeman is told, go easy, these are boys having fun. These are our people. Dilute. That is when a policeman has to have either the fiber in him or that's provided in this law. Just 1 minute. What the directions of the Supreme Court say is that if any policeman is derelict in his duty, there will be administrative action. So if a policeman who's given that signal can tell the politician, look, boss, you're going to get me into trouble in the Supreme Court. I don't want to do that. That is what has happened in this
generation. So that's why you do need law and you need protection. Harsh?
Yeah, I mean,
the toxicity, is it coming from is right view?
No,
or is it the use of technology to spread fake information which inflames people?
See, technology is a vehicle. In Hapur, it wasn't technology. It was an announcement made on the loudspeaker in the village. In a Clark's case, it was again an announcement made in the village. I think we're losing the point when we're looking at what vehicle was used. Obviously, social media enables something to happen. But we're seeing the rise of extreme hatred. Let me talk about a non-BJP state, just in the hope that I don't get interrupted. I went to Bengal. There was a rumor that these three boys people said that they were cow thieves, crowd gathered. They smashed them to death. They took the video and their bodies, the genitals were smashed with stone. There was that kind of brutality. I really feel it's like a heroin high of hate.
In the same breath, you want to mention how TMC people killed some other
I didn't say this was a TMC.
Yeah. So I'm saying if you mention the case in the same breath, then you will follow CJI's warning that don't give it a communal color.
If you can please not interrupt me. I never interrupted you while you spoke. I never interrupted you while I spoke. I just need 2 minutes to make a point which you can disagree with. What I have observed is that there is a huge climate of hate. It's like a heroin high of hate that I see across the society. There is a complete sense of impunity because when a criminal actually videotapes his own crime and has his face out there, he's communicating that I am proud of what I've done, and B, I am sure that I'm not going to be punished, and even if I get punished, I'll be a hero for the ruling establishment. And see, this is what we have done to this, when the man is begging for his life. So there is a public celebration, a valorization of hate violence that we are seeing in our society. And on the role of the police, I would just like to say one thing. I have great respect. I've been a collector in six districts. I've seen that police, I do not blame the junior police person. I believe that in a correct environment, they follow their duty. But what is happening in place after place, in Hapur, for instance, these were two villagers, local villagers who were killed with great cruelty. The police pressurized them to file it as a road rage case. And this is not unusual. Again, I found across the country, we're not even going to see data of lynching because majority of those cases are not registered. And where they are in Pehlu Khan, and I'll just end with that, Pehlu Khan became a celebrated case. He was transporting animals who were cow, milch animals, which was not even against the law. He was lynched. Everybody saw it. What are we seeing happening? A year later, his son and his nephew and all of them are running around trying to protect themselves against legal action. And there's a sense of great fear in the community. And I don't agree with Mr. Singh. They are people who love the cow. They may be Muslim. They also rear cows. They also value what they're doing. But they're living in so much fear. So I think we need to recognize both the hate and fear.
Professor Bhashree, just weigh in on the sociological aspects of this. Is there mounting hate? Is there, for whatever reason, maybe it is always latent, maybe it's being tapped in some way, it's flowing a little easier? Is technology just enabling it to be expressed more easily? What's happening here at a sociological level?
No, I think Harsh is right. Technology is just a vehicle, and it's not the case that, for example, technology was the main reason in Dadri. Certainly not. Just a rumor was heard that Akhlaq had beef in his fridge, etc., and then mob violence was unleashed on him and he was killed. So technology is a vehicle, right? I think the underlying issue is not that we are not capable of hatred as human beings. We can be, but if we can eliminate hatred from our life, well and good. Mahatma Gandhi tried that. A lot of people in the world have tried that. But let's assume for a moment that some hatred people will have. But it's the political atmosphere, it's this atmosphere of impunity, it's the idea that if I express my hatred violently and kill someone, and organize a mob and kill someone, I will be either a hero or I will not go to jail. I can put that video out on WhatsApp and be, etc. Now, it's this underlying politics of impunity which then allows that hatred to be expressed so vehemently, so violently, and so in such a ghastly manner. Now,
right, and I think,
in a cruel manner. I think Harsh is also right to use the term cruelty. It's not just violence, it's cruelty of the highest order. So I think it's the underlying political impunity.
Right, and perhaps that sense of impunity and the willingness to boast here on camera about your crimes, perhaps most clearly seen in the case of Shambhu Regar,
It's almost a celebration of it.
Okay, let me quickly get a couple of comments from the audience before I wrap up the show. Yeah, the gentleman there, someone hand him the mic. Yeah, comment.
Sir, ye jo law banane ka kaam hai, ye sarkar ka hai. Lekin humne jab constitution banaya, to humne responsible government banai, stable government nahi banai. 1919 ke Chelmsford Montague Chelmsford reform se humne responsible government ki baat ki, stable nahi. To responsible to government hogi na, jo bhi government hogi usko to condemn karna hoga. Kyun nahi karegi wo?
It should condemn it, but doesn't always do so. Okay, the gentleman behind you.
Gaurav sir has told us about the dent in the social fabric. So I wanted to know what are the measures must be taken by governments to act, to formulate some acts or institutions or any other bodies.
Can I just take that? Before you ask the government, ask yourself. And the first thing is, always stand on the weaker side. Do that one thing as a country and see how things improve.
I'll just add one more point. In every case that I've gone, I've seen that the problem is now not of the government. I'm not worried about the government. I'm worried that people just stand around. In Hapur, it was 12 and 13-year-old boys who were standing around, participating, watching. It is a problem that is about society. So unless we restore love and respect for people, regardless of their religion and their identity and their caste, it is a problem governments cannot solve. We have to first solve it.
Okay, can I just...
Small point. you asked me, I had the entire data of the Jharkhand. And in past, Jharkhand doesn't have these type of crimes in the past. That data is also there. What happened in last 4 years? You asked me the measure. Prime Minister used to challenge fitness and all those things. If he can make a small video, post it, that, okay, stop this type of crime, there will be, that's going to have a multiplying effect. Second point, you asked me the thing. He used to do Mann Ki Baat. If half an hour, if he can speak on Mann Ki Baat, their own cadre can
in Mann Ki Baat
listen that
also
Mann Ki Baat,
he told
please
about
stop this. That after that, there is a positive signal. Please appreciate. That cow and all those issues came down.
Prime Minister is a great communicator. He could do more to communicate this. I mean, let's just establish that. I mean, that might well help. Can I just ask Professor Bashi and Eman Singh, before I allow you to go, just final comments I'm getting from everyone.
There's just a lady there. I'm almost done.
Okay, one question to Hegde, sir, that why aren't we considering whoever is involved into this kind of lynching as just criminals? Aren't they actually terrorists?
That's taking a bit too far. The point is that they are not even criminals. They are people like you, me, our children. The point is, if you think that it is right to hate, that it is right to go violent on that hate will go a little too far and end up killing the man.
Okay.
Nobody in a lynch mob starts off wanting to kill the man. They want to beat the man. The fellow has... And then one fellow in the mob has a key in his hand. Somebody has a screwdriver. It goes in. Then everybody in the mob, everybody in that group is guilty of murder. That's simple law, even without the lynch law.
Okay.
So stay out of dangerous situations. And if you see a situation like that, please step in.
Try to protect.
For the weak man. For the weak man.
Try
That's
to protect.
All.
Okay. Professor Bashi, last quick comment from me. And I also just wanted to ask you, you know, you're saying it just that you know, technology is just a vehicle, and that may well be true. But obviously, the government's putting a lot of pressure on WhatsApp and other such groups to try and say, do something about it. New laws are coming on, you know, how many followers, how many times you can forward a message, or stuff like that is about to happen. Is that a solution? Because, again, these are some of the issues that need global solutions.
Part of the solution. It's not the solution. It's part of the solution. If you think about the category determined political action and think of the example, the madness of partition violence, the Hindu-Muslim hatred of 1947-48, how was it kept in control at least for 2-3 decades by determined political action from the top? That's how it was done, right? And therefore, while we should certainly work on technological solutions, we should certainly work on legal solutions, we should certainly work on police reform, but there is this, the overarching, the most important category called determined political action.
Okay. Determined political action. Heard you loud and clear. Eman Singh, we are almost out of time. Last one quick word from you. WhatsApp groups and others, is that a key part of the problem according to
you?
Well,
Vikram, just 2-3 things. Well, just 2-3 things, Vikram. One, unfortunately, the police suffers from a perception problem. They are handicapped by this problem. People think that it is the police which is responsible for this. I think they are not interested in really finding the solution. Number two, this mob, which are the lynch mob or the cow vigilantes, they are making an attempt to coerce the Muslims. I will say it very openly. To submit to the new law of on the cow slaughter, because they know that there are limitations in the implementation of
the
law. So
made between
these groups
1950 to 1965
are making a determined effort by attacking.
There's no new law.
I'm going to give you the last comment.
Please don't intervene. I didn't speak when you were speaking. Now my third thing is that these vigilante groups are very dangerous, and if they are not checked. And then there will be very serious problems in times to come. And the way to check it, actually, somebody said that there should be a clear direction from the political establishment that this has to end. And that will end.
All right. Last comment from you, Raghav.
That was obviously a great discussion. And it's unfortunate that, You know, we choose to get involved in political partisanship when we are discussing an issue of such gravity and import. And as Mr. Mandav rightly pointed out, these incidents are taking place across states and even in states where there is, I mean, where the BJP is not in power. So, I mean, I would like to end with the ardent hope and expectation that the rule of law will be upheld to its fullest, in its fullest glory, and hopefully then these things would not also be politicized.
But I think let's all agree on that last thing which you said. Let's certainly hope that we can find a way to stop it. Whatever is leading to it, whether it's technology, whether it's a lack of political will, whether it is ineffectual policing in certain cases, whether it is just something in the air which is allowing people to unleash their inner hate and toxicity and pounce on one poor person and lynch him in the cruelest of matters. Whatever is leading to it, we have to try and find an answer. We have to try and find a solution. And yes, part of that is also catching hold of the people who are guilty, irrespective of who they are, and punishing them, because that will also provide a deterrent. You're watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.